the second country in need of significant U.S. help to prevent its fall to al-Qaeda-like groups, is Pakistan. After the attacks on America, and despite the popularity of al-Qaeda in parts of Pakistan, General Musharraf courageously pressed his agencies to help the U.S. find any al-Qaeda presence in the country. Yet, to this day, Osama bin Laden is a popular icon in Pakistan. Mosques and affiliated madras schools in Pakistan teach hatred of America and all that is not Islam. Large areas of Pakistan along the Afghan border are still not controlled by the central government and offer sanctuary to the Taliban and al-Qaeda. All of this is true about a country that also has nuclear weapons. More disturbing are reports that some scientists who had worked on Pakistan's nuclear program are also al-Qaeda sympathizers and have discussed their expertise with al-Qaeda, Libya, Iran, North Korea, and others. Nothing, and certainly not Iraq, can be more important than stopping al-Qaeda from getting its hands on a nuclear weapon. Once an example of an Islamic democracy with a high-tech future, Pakistan could become what bin Laden dreams of, an Islamic nation controlled by radicals, with popular support for fundamentalism and terrorism, armed with nuclear weapons. For now, under General Musharraf, the nuclear weapons are reportedly under tight control. Musharraf, however, needs help to turn the popular attitude in his country from supporting al-Qaeda's view of the future to supporting a modern, democratic, peaceful view of the future. Although the U.S. increased assistance to Pakistan in 2001, it is inadequate to make the difference needed to turn the tide in Pakistan and return it to stability. On a 2003 visit to the United States, General Musharraf complained that the U.S. was offering him military assistance funds, which he did not need, and not providing the economic development he desperately required. Saudi Arabia is the third of the priority nations. For several years prior to September 11th, the United States government provided the Saudis with information about al-Qaeda members in the kingdom. That information seemed to disappear into a black box. There was some greater cooperation after September 11th, but why the lethargy, the reluctance, the denial? For Americans to understand the Saudi government's attitude over the last few years, it may be easiest to explain by analogy. What might Washington's attitude be if some country alleged that the Opus Dei religious sect of Roman Catholicism were engaged in terrorism around the world and had to be destroyed, its leaders killed or arrested? Without even looking at the evidence offered by the foreign government, some in the government in Washington would say that they agreed with the basic beliefs of Opus Dei. Some in sensitive government jobs might even be members of Opus Dei and thus reluctant to arrest their co-believers. The analogy is imprecise. Opus Dei is not engaged in terrorism, but it is certainly true that the core al-Qaeda beliefs are not very different from those of many leading Saudis.